miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Coming up at 35 after the hour, the little clues that reveal big truths about who we are at 35 past the hour. That's our guest segment. It's You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, brought to you weekly by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Dr. Mike, something else interesting in that holiday Christmas issue of the British Medical Journal.
Yeah, you know, this is an issue that everyone thought was straightforward, was rigorous science, and it is, but they always make it top issues. So about 10 years ago, they came out with a really interesting issue, which was science, but it talked about orgasm frequency and longevity. So they followed a large cohort of men in Great Britain to look at what happened, how many orgasms they had, and they followed their significant others or their spouses, and orgasm frequency and longevity. And they found the average man in Great Britain, much like in the United States, who was 55, between 50 and 60, had about an orgasm a week, 58 a year. Those that had as many as 160, which is roughly three times the national average, lived about 8 years longer and had less disability. And they did not count orgasms in the spouses, in the females. They counted happiness with sexual life, and they had about the same benefit. And obviously, the guys then extrapolated like an apple a day for 10 years and extrapolated the same way they did in the apple story and found out that if the men had had 300 and I think it was 60 orgasms a year, they would be on average the equivalent of 16 years younger. So it's something to shoot for, Joe.
I have a lot of catching up to do if that's the case, then. I'm a few eons behind.
But the 58 is the average, Joe.
Well, I still have some catching up to do.
You can make up for that.
Is your wife not listening to the show today?
Oh, goodness. On a related matter, the first season of Masters of Sex ended on Showtime this week. Interesting. Masters and Johnson. Interesting. I'm not really sure how accurate the historical relationship was, or historically what that was. It's an interesting field, and they did a pretty good job of it. Again, I'm not really sure how accurate it was, but it's up for all sorts of awards and everything. I think they're coming back for a second season, but those two pretty much pioneered a lot of information that we didn't know prior to what they came out with about human sexuality, didn't they?
That's exactly right. I think they did the work in the late 50s and 60s, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And by the time they published it in the 70s, the early 70s, it was remarkable work, remarkable. And part of the humor I get from the work, but it was solid scientifically, is we had an article, I think it was 2 weeks ago. I don't know if we got to discuss it, but it was Sex as Exercise.
Yeah, we
and
didn't do it, no.
The interesting thing was that they found, this is whatever it is, 50 years later, almost the same thing, that the average amount of energy expenditure during an orgasm is between 25 and 50 calories. It's not very much exercise. It's about 2 minutes of riding a bicycle or a treadmill for both men and women.
Yeah, it was a well-done series, and there was some sex in it, some experimentation, some of the things that they made these couples do, but it was done tastefully, really done very well. A lot of relationship building between a lot of the people in the in the show. So it's very well done. And it might win some awards and be back for a second season. Long-term multivitamin use. Some say taking vitamins, Dr. Mike, is pretty much useless. And we talked about this on my morning show, I think, this week. But what's the details?
We should not throw what I call the baby out with the bathwater. So there were two things that were really studied. One, does it decrease cardiovascular disease? And the answer was no, and there hadn't been any real hints that it had done that. And in well-nourished men, that is physicians who were exercising, who had a very low rate of cigarette use, under 2%, it didn't change their cognitive function as they got older. Now, they had two major caveats on that. One is none of these people, they were tested for vitamin deficiency, none of them had it. So you can't have a vitamin D or B12 deficiency, which are common ones, or even an iodine deficiency. And the second thing is, obviously, they did not look at cancer rates. And from previous studies, there was a 8% over age 50, 18% reduction in cancers over age 70 reduction from routine multivitamin use. So if you don't think 18% reduction in cancer rates is something, I do anyway. So that was in men, not in women. The second thing that I don't want people to think is that prenatal multivitamins aren't useful. No, prenatal and during, even for 3 months beforehand, and as you know, I say that means every woman between 12 and 50, since 50% of the pregnancies in the United States, in North America really, are unplanned. And you want it 3 months in advance because that decreases autism rates by 40%, decreases all congenital malformations by 85%, and decreases childhood cancers to age 6.5 by 65%. So there is a true benefit for women under the age of 50, between 12 and 50, taking a multivitamin a day. I believe it should be half in the morning and half at night because you will urinate out the water-soluble components in 12 hours. So you want a stable level, which means half a multivitamin in the morning, half in the evening. And over the age of 50, you really want DHA plus lutein and zeaxanthin. Lutein, zeaxanthin, and DHA protect the eyes and decrease age-related macular degeneration. So maybe in women between the ages of 50 and whatever, maybe 80, you don't need a multivitamin, but we don't really know that. The other thing that came out of study is that there was no harm from having a multivitamin, if you will, and they're pretty inexpensive insurance against an inadequate diet, Joe.
I think the thing I mentioned to you on the morning show last week was I think it's like when people take cholesterol drugs or high blood pressure pills, it's a way to say, well, I can eat anything I want because I'm taking a statin for my cholesterol. I'm taking a blood pressure pill for my blood pressure. People may say, well, I'm taking a multivitamin, so I can just about eat anything I want rather than opt for the healthy lifestyle. I think that's the only thing I mentioned. People may consider it to be a false sense of security, right?
That's exactly right. You don't want to have it's not a false, it's not something you should say because I'm doing this, I don't have to pay attention. I can eat just the, fried French fries all day for the rest of my life. No, you still want to eat healthy food, which is basically a Mediterranean diet without red meat, without saturated fat, without trans fat, without added sugars, without added syrups, and it's only 100% whole grain. But if you do that, you can do pretty well with that without the multivitamin.
All right, coming up, guest time after the break. It's the little clues that reveal big truths about who we are and who people we deal with are. It's called The Tell, and the author of the book is coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.